The title is, and I've brought this one before, it's called Pesach, Our Everlasting Deliverance. Pesach is an absolutely amazing time. To me, it is the most wonderful time of the year. I know Yom Kippur, they class as the high holy day and the holiest day of the year. But I think when we've got Pesach, without Pesach, we've got no deliverance. Absolutely no deliverance. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7 and 8, which we've just read. Get rid of the old hummets so that you can be a new batch of dough, because in reality you are unleavened, for our Pesach lamb, the Messiah, has been sacrificed. So let us celebrate the Seder not with leftover hummets, the hummets of wickedness and evil, but with the matzah of purity and truth. And I know that for years I've been speaking to each and every one of you on we have to be holy as he is holy. And our aim in life is that, purely that. And this is to me what Passover is all about. Getting rid of the hummets out of our life, any unclean thought, any unclean word, any wrong doings of any kind, any evil, and take on the matzah of purity and truth. And that is the whole essence of Passover and the whole essence of what our lives should be. Pesach or Passover is all about Yeshua's sacrifice and our deliverance. Consequently, the word of Yehovah admonishes us to celebrate this reality with a genuine and sincere heart of reverence and worship, taking in the full measure of grace and truth that the feasts point to. Yehovah believes in refreshing our salvation experience, especially when we're part of this world. Knowing the world, the flesh, and the devil for that matter, war against us daily. The new creation within us is what we need also so that we can wear down, otherwise we will wear down unless we remember the practice and practice the whole truth. Biblical feasts are our reminders. At this time, the entire Jewish world, as well as many Christians who recognize Yeshua in the biblical feasts, will be immersed once again in the celebration of Pesach or Passover. At this special evening, millions of souls from the four corners of our earth will engage in elaborate ceremonies, including scripture readings, singing, dining, and teaching Yehovah's word, for all focusing on the saga of Israel's greatest exodus from Egypt. But we have to remember the journey. Yehovah commanded Israel in Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 1 to 3, in slide 3. It says, observe the month of Aviv, and keep Pesach to Yehovah your Elohim. For in the month of Aviv, Yehovah your Elohim brought you out of Egypt at night. You are to sacrifice the Pesach offering from flock and herd to Yehovah your Elohim in the place where Yehovah will choose to have his name live. You are not to eat any hummets with it. For 7 days you are to eat it with matzah, the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste. Thus you will remember the day you left the land of Egypt as long as you live. The Passover feast is intended to inspire Yehovah's people to remember where they came from and who their deliverer is. Against the dark background of oppression, hardships, futility, and desperation of slavery, Yehovah's work of deliverance shines brightly, dispenses fresh hope and assures from one generation to the next. Pesach tells us that Yehovah knows our fallen state. He hears our cries and he will come to deliver us. When things go from bad to worse and when all hope is gone, Pesach points to our Saviour, our Yeshua, our beacon of hope and our anchor of faith. It is the testimony of his rescue mission, leading a people who are storm-tossed, helpless and lost to a safe harbour. Don't we all need a Passover reminder every so often? And I just would like to say thank each and every one of you for being here today, for listening online tonight or today, because that means that your heart is in the right place. The key to the message of Pesach is from Shemot, Exodus chapter 8 and verse 1. A simple line that says, "Let my people go so they can worship me." That's what he wants us to do. Israel was set free from Egypt's oppression for the purpose of service and worship. Freedom in this respect is not an end in itself. Rather, it is a means to a Yehovah-style type of life of service, as of fruit and a Yehovah style of fruitfulness. Our fruitfulness is different to that of the world. In fact, a careful study of the pre-exit events in Egypt reveals that the Passover miracle was offered to a people who actually barely wanted it. Yes, the children have cried out to Yehovah for help in their affliction, but their concept of help was not what Yehovah had in mind. They were on two different pages in that respect. All the Israelites wanted was relief from the Egyptians. Yehovah, on the other hand, was accomplishing their deliverance. Their deliverance for a life filled with his love and with his security. Many of Yehovah's children are in the same place today. We beg him for help in our circumstances, while at the same time resist his deep work of deliverance in our hearts. The message of freedom may be popular and politically correct in Western culture, but very seldom do the advocates of freedom ever lead those freshly freed people into a life of substance and meaning. Often the newly acquired freedom, be it political, economical, or ideological, merely opens the door for the next trap. Freedom for the sake of freedom is insufficient. Freedom is not a license to become. The rest is choice. Once freed from oppression, whatever a person or a nation may become is entirely subject to their choices. The nations that Australia has helped to become liberated, such as Afghanistan, Iraq, East Timor, in recent decades, are still in that balance today. It is obvious to any honest observer, freedom alone without taking on the yoke of Yehovah is not the solution for anybody's problems. In fact, Yeshua warned us sternly that a freed soul which is not filled with Yehovah's Ruach will eventually end up seven times worse than its original state. Can we go to Matityahu, slide 5, please? Chapter 12, verses 43 and 45. These are Yeshua's words. When an unclean spirit comes out of a person, it travels through dry country seeking rest and doesn't find it. Then it says to itself, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house standing empty, swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it 7 other spirits more evil than itself, and they come and live there, so that in the end, the person is worse off than he was before. This is how it will be for this wicked generation. And as Yeshua proved, that is what happened with the destruction of the temple and the annihilation of Jerusalem. So what is true deliverance? As Israel was in Egypt, likewise many are today. We wallow in oppression in the enemy's grip. We cry out for relief. Jehovah sends deliverance to break our yoke and our propensities to become enslaved again. We fuss and complain for fear of change and loss of the familiar. Jehovah turns up the heat to help us make up our minds. And finally we are delivered, almost in spite of ourselves. So some of you probably are quandering right now, negotiation with Jehovah. How delivered you really want to be? We'll talk about this, yeah? I want this and this and this. Yah says, no, you've got to do it my way. Well, you know, if I do it on a Sunday and if I do that, that and that, no, Shabbat is the day of rest. There is no negotiating with Yah. It's his way or the highway. Not my way or the highway. So when Jehovah, what he really wants, is our deliverance. Pray that when you pray to Jehovah for relief, you will also be made willing to accept his deliverance, his full deliverance, because that is what Pesach is all about. True deliverance, as Pesach teaches, does not come without conflict and drastic changes. Newly acquired liberty always calls for responsibility, faith, and accountability. In Israel's case, deliverance from slavery necessitated an initial deterioration of their conditions and extreme changes in lifestyle, location, and priorities. The nation was evacuated overnight from its over 400-year-old roots in the fertile land of Goshen, was thrust into an extended wilderness trek. Eventually, true deliverance will lead the liberated souls into purposeful and intentional warfare in order to clear the promised land and take possession of Jehovah's promises, as was the case with Israel in Canaan. Applying these principles to our lives, we can better understand why the apostles Shaul charged the disciples to celebrate the feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He said so knowing that our instinctive carnal tendencies will always follow the path of the least resistance. Keeping us content with temporary relief rather than genuine deliverance and transformation. Is your Pesach experience one of lasting deliverance, or is it just a temporary relief? The Ruach HaKodesh is not another fix. He's not another fix. We have to allow the Ruach HaKodesh to come and live and dwell within us and stay within us. It's not like the prophets of old, where the Spirit would come on them and leave, come on them and leave. Because of Yeshua's crucifixion on that stake, because of his sacrifice, our deliverance gives us the Ruach HaKodesh to dwell within us permanently. We all know that Yeshua is the Lamb of Yehovah. The historic Pesach, though nearly 3,500 years old, is rich with the relevance for those who live today in the reality of the Mashiach's work of redemption. The 10 plagues which brought down Egypt's gods, or Elohims, speak of the spiritual warfare that is constantly raging in the heavens on our behalf. Pharaoh's calculated hardness of heart still serves Yehovah's purposes in magnifying the power of Yeshua while drawing his people to his exit strategy, not our own exit strategy. The bitter herbs, the roasted meat, the blood of a perfect lamb, the unleavened bread, the terrible night when the angel of death passed over the Hebrew homes, the exodus on the following morning carrying Egypt's treasures, and the enemy's last ambush by the Yam Suf all testify of Yehovah's great work of salvation in Mashiach. Ultimately, they all point to Yeshua, our great deliverer. Not only is the Passover a defining event in the children of Israel's identity, but it's also the core of Yeshua's own calling. It's the core of Yeshua's own mission when he came to earth to save us. Of all of his majestic names and titles, he was prophetically recognized and celebrated as the Lamb of Yehovah. When he first emerged from the hidden life in the Galilee and stepped onto the center stage of Yehuda, immersing the Hebrew nation at the Yarden while preparing the way for Yeshua, Yochanan the immerser saw Yeshua coming down to the riverbank and declared in slide 6 please, Yochanan 1:29-34. The next day Yochanan saw Yeshua coming towards him and said, "Look, Yehovah's Lamb, the one who was taking away the sin of the world. This is the man I was talking about when I said, after me is coming someone who has come to rank above me, because he existed before me. I myself did not know who he was, but the reason I came immersing with water was so that he might be made known to Israel." Next slide. Then Yochanan gave this testimony. "I saw the Ruach coming down from heaven like a dove and remaining on him. I myself did not know who he was, but the one who sent me to immerse in water said to me, 'The one on whom you see the Ruach descending and remaining, this is the one who immerses in the Ruach HaKodesh. And I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of Yehovah.'" Led by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, into public ministry on earth, the Son of Yehovah revealed himself first as the Lamb of Yehovah, preparing for that great and ultimate Pesach or Passover. Yeshua identified himself as the Lamb of Yehovah, not only at his initial public appearance by the Yarden, but also at the closing of his earthly mission in Yerushalayim 3.5 years later. It was during the Pesach or Passover Seder meal at that upper room that we read of in Luke today that our Yeshua lifted up the cup, broke the bread, and announced the Brit Hadashah, the new covenant. He said that was soon to be confirmed in his own person at his own expense. Can we go to Luke 22:15-16? Slide 8. He said to them, I have really wanted so much to celebrate this Seder with you before I die. For I tell you, it is certain that I will not celebrate it again until it is given its full meaning in the kingdom of Elohim. Although he was slain before the foundation of the world, according to Revelation 13, chapter 13, verse 8, and the next slide, everyone living on earth will worship it, except those whose names are written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb slaughtered before the world was founded. The Son of Yehovah had to step through the doorway of space and time to shed holy blood on our behalf at Jerusalem. His sacrificial death was determined from all eternity, from eternity before to eternity after. That's when his sacrificial death was determined. It is the blood of Yehovah's own Pesach lamb that delivers us from the ultimate Egypt, our slavery to sin and the curse of death. So the lamb is an eternity from the beginning to the end. The Lamb has not disappeared following his death and resurrection. He is in heaven to this very day, and his blood is still fresh upon the altar, which is made without hands. Caught up in the Ruach, Yochanan describes what he saw in the next slide, please, in Revelation 5 and verse 13. He says, I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and on the sea, yes, everything in them saying, to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb belong praise, honour, glory and power forever and ever. Even more, not only was the Lamb of Yehovah in the heart of heaven's worship at the time of that vision, but Yochanan further prophesies that he will be there forever, seeing the holy city in eternity, where Yochanan testified in the next slide in Revelation 21, 1-3. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven and the old earth had passed away, and the sea was no longer there. Also I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, out of heaven from Elohim, prepared like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne say, see, Elohim Shekinah is with mankind, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and he himself, Elohim, with them, will be their Elohim. For all eternity, the Lamb of Yehovah lives to make intercession, and he is the King of Kings. For all eternity, his sacrificial work will continue to uphold and secure Yehovah's new creation. Pesach, the feast of sacrifice, deliverance, and freedom, is our everlasting celebration. And this is the reason to celebrate Yeshua, our Saviour, and worship him as Yehovah's perfect Lamb. He who brought Israel out of Egypt, sustaining her Pesach, is meant to help us remember our Seder, is to teach our children to remember. To remember Yehovah. To remember his love. To remember his faithfulness. To remember Yeshua's sacrificial death at Golgotha. To remember his power and his intervention in your life yesterday, and to remember to trust him for tomorrow. Because as it says, and I'm going to finish on this slide, in Messianic Jews, Hebrews 13 and verse 8, Yeshua HaMashiach is the same yesterday and today, yes, and forever. Can I hear it? Thank you. I was about to ask for that. Bless you, my son.